In a Mother's Day article, Deborah Smoot recalled a particularly memorable Mother's Day presentation in her little church. As the mother of two preschool children, she had managed to make her way to a seat, expecting the same kind of traditions that had been part of the church history. You know, a sea of pink carnations, eulogies to mothers, and songs about mummies and singing children, you know, wiggling up and down around throughout the program. But this year, a well-meaning Sunday school teacher had come up with a better idea. She had asked each child to draw a picture of his or her mother and then made them into slides, PowerPoint slides. And after each song, a slide of someone's mother was shown, and a child who had, you know, drawn the picture was handed the microphone. "This is my mummy driving the car," you know, said one little girl. "She takes us places." In a picture, of course, there was mummy with a bright crayon red smile on her face looking out the car window. "This is my mummy cooking dinner," said another with yellow hair and a ruffled apron came into focus. It was a nice touch. And the drawings varied in detail, but they were sweet and tender, most of them. And as Deborah's turn approached, oh, she grew more and more eager. "I knew my four-year-old's drawing would be, oh, it would be something wonderful," she said. "You know, maybe mummy standing in a field of flowers." She was somewhere in the middle of that fantasy when she heard her son Owen bellow, "This is my mummy washing clothes when she gets up first thing in the morning." And there's the picture that appeared. And the audience roared with laughter as the drawing flashed on the screen. And like a real pro, Owen waited for the laughter to die down before he finally added, I didn't get her quite right. Her hair sticks up more than that." Well, Deborah said, "I could have died. Guilt took the seat next to me on one side and self-doubt on the other. Motherhood," she said, "is a humbling experience." I think it was comedian Rodney Dangerfield who once said, "My mother had morning sickness after I was born." Some of you might resonate there. Motherhood may be a humbling experience, but according to the scriptures, it is a calling worthy of great honor. Proverbs 31, as you see, verse 31 says, "Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise in the city gate." You might wonder, city gate, that is where all the important people gathered. It was center of business and of government. It was city hall in the day. That's the place where you want to honor her. The one of the Ten Commandments, right, is honor your father and mother. The word there in the Ten Commandments used for honor is kavod in Hebrew. It's the word for, it literally means heavy. Now, it's not because she's overweight. No. It is that your parents ought to have weight, gravity, we would say. That's how they should feel, like they have weight, significance, gravity. And the word used in Proverbs is hallel, or hallelujah we use, right? Hallelujah is praise to God, and this word, it's praise to her. In Proverbs 31, the writer uses acrostic artistry and heroic poetry, as we'll see, to honor the most influential woman in his life. Now, we do well to keep in mind, and I encourage you to turn to Proverbs 31, that this poem that we read is 2,500 to 3,000 years old. Yes, that is old, right? Just to actually have a copy of it is amazing. It is culturally conditioned. As my Bible teacher, Dr. David Ewart, used to say, the Word of God comes to us clothed in the dress of the ancient world, in the style, in the context. But the principles and substance, as we understand them, are timeless. And they need to be transposed into our world. For what I have found most striking in revisiting this text this week is how radical it was then and is today. Now, I'll have more to say about this, but first I want to invite you to turn to Proverbs 31 as we observe the basic message of this poem and interpret what it is saying and apply its insights for our own day. Let's read Proverbs 31. I'm going to begin at verse 10. "A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She's like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her women servants. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers, that is, for making clothes. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. The most immediate and striking thing about this form and the function of this poem is that it is written as an acrostic. Now, I know it's not obvious to you, but in the Hebrew, it begins with the first letter, Aleph. So an A, we would say. And so we would might use for, you know, A is for amazing or awesome, or you can add yours. B is for beautiful, or she's the best. C, considerate, capable, it could go on. The next other element in the form that is not quite so recognizable, we'll talk about it more in a moment. But forms, usually messages become associated with certain forms and how they function. So, for example, country and western music. You know, it's got a twang to it, right? And then there's also kind of themes that go along with that, you'd say, right? Like the woman is always leaving in some way, and then the dog dies and he goes to prison, or, you know, they get the idea. So what happens if you play country music backwards? Your wife returns to you, your dog comes back to life, and you get out of prison. You know, is this association with a certain kind of form and the function. Now, what this is not just an acrostic, but this is actually heroic poetry. You see, there's a word that is used here right at the beginning, a wife of noble character. This woman is actually a heroine. You see, usually in that day, that was the word, a Gabor Heil was used. That is a great military hero, okay? It's the language, almost exclusively, Heil is used for one of military exploits, and you would, you know, make a song or a poem of great military exploits. But the writer uses the superhero form of the day to recount a great hero in his home and in his community. And so she is, one writer called her, a domestic warrior, okay, or a heroine. And in stark contrast to other ancient Near Eastern literature, and I think this is why the author used this form. First, he wanted to make sure that this was worthy. This was a worthy form for this woman. And also, because in the ancient Near Eastern literature, the form that was overwhelmingly used was preoccupied with the charms of women from an erotic point of view. You know, glamour magazine, if you will. And this heroic poem celebrates the woman's character and activity in the regular, ordinary affairs of family, community, and even business life. So instead of using a pop song or a country and western tune, the writer uses the form of a great heroic epic. You should hear the beginning movement to Superman playing in the background, and you would get the flavor. This is the appropriate form to honor one who embodies the idealized, and it is idealized. This is Lady Wisdom. In the book of Proverbs, we're just picking it up right at the very end, But Lady Wisdom, she sets the table and she invites all of those to come to her table and to eat of her wisdom and to follow her way. And so this Proverbs is climaxed, if you will. This is what wisdom embodied in ordinary everyday life would look like. Just like Jesus. This is what perfect humanity in ordinary life with God's design would look like. Okay? So we begin with a brief introduction. And so I'm just going to follow the wisdom acronym. And you might want to jot this down and write it on a card and, you know, give it to a woman in your life. And you would be able to accomplish two things at once today. Just a suggestion, okay? Now, we begin with worthy of honor. Now, just a note, if you're making it for someone else, you might want to make up another one for the W. But this is, you know, mine. Otherwise, they're all going to look the same. Now, we begin with a brief introduction to the heroine of the ancient world and find our attention being drawn to a woman of incredible value. Verse 10 is a general statement of her worth. Verses 11 and 12 speak more specifically to the relational and practical treasure that she is to her husband. In other words, he is using the highest possible language to underline her importance and her worth. And it is a message that needs to be heard today. It is a telling sign of the foolishness of our culture when a woman feels that she needs to justify, when a woman who stays, you know, who spends most of her time as a homemaker feels that she needs to justify that. Husbands and children, here's your homework. Make sure your wife and your mother hears and sees that you believe her to be a genuine heroine in your home. We have a wall of honor on the outside. I'll say a little bit more about that, but an opportunity to honor her in a very specific way. And so on the display there, there's little cards you can go and you can please take advantage of writing on that. And that's going to be up for several weeks, so it'll be worth your while. Well, I'm going to just kind of go through these quickly here. I was going to actually say, what do you think for I? I'm thinking industrious, inventive, instructive. You will see all of these elements in this poem, but it is a poem. I don't know why it's jumping on me, but it's probably me. Shrewd. Spiritual, really significant. And you will say, that's the foundation of why this woman has an incredible influence in her family and in her community and is pointing other people to God. Okay? Tremendous spiritual influence. She is dependable, and yet she is also dignified. And, open-hearted and open-handed. I know the Pavology class is still going on. And here you can have her for a poster woman for the for Pavology. That is one who is open-hearted and open-handed towards the poor. Now, while the Bible places an incredible value and status on women who serve as devoted wives and mothers, it does not limit her energies or influence to the home. Her resume, if you will, includes skills and activities that reach beyond the home into the community and into the marketplace of her world. Now, I know that if you look at this woman's resume, it will feel exhausting. Okay? Now, in reading over an extensive resume, we must also keep in mind that what is described here is not the norm or standard to which all women are expected to achieve. Let me say that again. Okay? Get this? This is not the norm or standard to which all women are expected to achieve. Got that? Okay. Reading this list as a list of expectations, it will be hazardous to your health. Okay? As one writer put it, this lady's standard is not implied to be within the reach of all, for it presupposes unusual gifts and material resources. It talks about women servants. This is written by a king. It is probably a queen mother or somebody in a significant court influence. Okay? It is an idealized picture, a demonstration of what Lady Wisdom herself would look like if she were to be allowed to manage the home. And so just like Jesus, if we think you have to be exactly like Jesus, but if we aim to be like Jesus, there are elements of Jesus-like character that will begin to happen, okay? Whereas if we, you know, aim for really low, it's never going to achieve that. So rather than commanding a resume that would put Martha Stewart to shame, this poem, as commentator Derek Kidner notes, shows the fullest flowering of domestic life. Being a homemaker is not a petty and restricted sphere. Here is scope for formidable powers and great achievements. I remember my sister years ago having raised a good swath of kids and then re-entering the job and university world. And she was intimidated. You know, I've been away from studying so long and the marketplace job. And as God would have it, I had come across an article that somebody had passed on to me from the Vancouver Sun. It was called, "Need a Real Operator? Mum's the Word." Okay? And Dorothea Sautin has shared her experience of re-entering the marketplace, job market, after 18 years as a full-time mother. And she says, "I two weeks ago, I went through another job interview. Tell me about your last job." I knew the question was going to come. "Well," I said proudly, "I had a full-time position. Self-employed as a CEO of a busy development center, on call 24 hours a day, responsible for operations including purchasing and procurement, management of facilities, hours and accounting, satisfying conflicting priorities and showing exceptional customer service abilities. 3 major product releases in 4 years. Superior negotiating skills to keep projects on schedule and a proven managerial track record. In 18 years, no turnover." Wow. "Did I actually say this?" "In your dreams," she writes, "not a word did I say of the above. I squirmed in my seat instead, cautiously camouflaging the fact that I have only been a mother of 3 children for the last 18 years. And in spite of my wonderful personality, I am not giving up yet. But how come, I wonder, the work and life and experience of being a mother does not count more in modern society?" Here. And the Bible writer says, it jolly well should, because it matters to God. It is worthy of heroic and epic poem. And summarizing this section of Proverbs, one commentator noted, "This woman is the kind of wife a man needs. To which another commentator, Bruce Waltke, wisely suggested, "This comment should be amended to, this is the kind of woman a community needs." You see, she is most valuable. The one other place where this Heil, Gabor Heil, this mighty warrior, this valiant warrior, domestic warrior, language is used is in the book of Ruth. It is used of Ruth. If you don't know that book, I encourage you to read that Old Testament book. But she's a superhero, and it's interesting, right? Because she cares for a widowed mother. Righteousness in the Bible is to use what you have not to your self-advantage, but to the advantage of others. That is righteousness, relational righteousness in the Bible. That's Bruce Waltke summarized righteousness from his study of Proverbs in that. That's reflective of God. And Ruth, in a totally self-centered age, she lived in the dark ages, in the moral and spiritual dark ages, a foreigner, and she sacrificed her own well-being to care for her aging mother, we would say, aging parent. And we see that story about how God blesses her. But that, it says, is a valiant woman. That is worthy of honor. And I was thinking, too, about our refugee family that arrived back in October. There's lots of volunteers have been working with some men, but I just wanted to highlight the women as well this morning. You know, we have many women that are working with a refugee sponsor family. When I read this and thought about, and this open-hearted and open-handed. For example, we have people teaching English to our family one-on-one 4 or 5 times every week for a couple hours a day. That's a lot. So Assam is now to the point where he is looking for work and even going with him to one of the work interviews. And one of the people said, "Wow, only 6 months. You're doing so well." That's selflessly empowering others. And I think that needs to be honored and to be recognized. Well, finally, Oops. Oh, yeah, there they are. I should show you our sponsor family of Hoda and Assam and Omar and Nasruddin. Well, following a description of our heroine's worth and her heroic deeds, Proverbs 31 concludes with what I would call her rewards package. Maybe we should read that again just in case you missed it. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. And then they say, many noble women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise in the city gates. Having a servant's heart as this woman does is what inspires her to serve her husband and her family and community with all the gifts and abilities that she has been endowed with. And this is the kind of hero that deserves our praise, and we should not restrict our praise to simply one day a year. I think Mother's Day is a partial application of this message, but it should not be the only one. If Mother's Day helps us to remind us of the worth of the ministry of motherhood and prompts us to celebrate the heroines among us, then we should be thankful for it. But I encourage you to participate in that wall of honor. Now, the video that was shown earlier this morning, when I saw that, even when I saw it again, it brought me to tears because one of the great gifts that my mother gave to me, my mother passed away about 3.5 years ago. It was an unnoticed gift for 80 years. Or I guess less. That's my life, it's 50 years, okay? And when she was on her deathbed, and one of the conversations that we had was back to how she used to pray for me. And I had intended to be an electronic engineer, go into engineering. Love that kind of line of work, and it's good work, and other people should go into that work. But God had a different plan for my life. I just didn't know that yet. But my mother thought, I think God wants you to become a pastor. But she never said a word, because she said, I thought that would put too much pressure on you. And she said, so I just prayed. And I thought, as long as he keeps reading his Bible and listening to you, God, you'll get through. I'm a slow learner, so it took a number of years. But it did. She prayed for me a lot. And I want to honor her for that. Let's pray. Oh, Almighty God, who can do all things, through whom all the world and the universe was created, a universe that we still, with all of our greatest telescopes and science and space programs, still cannot map out. We still do not know the scope. And yet, Lord, you invited us to be your partner people. You wanted us to learn about parenting and about you as a parent by doing it. And you, Lord, in your great wisdom, you set within us, in our own faith community and in our own homes, examples, models, Lord, reflections of your character and your calling. And today we say thank you. And we, Lord, in turn, Lord, we recognize our need and dependence upon you to be the kind of parents that you long for us to be. And Lord, we pray for the gift of your Spirit to enable us to do that. That as we relinquish control of our lives over to you, that you would help us to embody the characteristics that are reflective of you. And Lord, as we go from here, we pray that as we have opportunity to sing the praises, Lord, of the great women in our lives, Lord, that we would take advantage of that to your honor and to your glory. Amen.